Check, check, one, two. Test, test. Can you hear me? Okay, first of all, I'd like to say worship was amazing. It's just a breath of fresh air to come together and worship God. That was something I really needed. And it's Thanksgiving season, but we should be thankful all year long for everything that God does for us. And I'm thankful. This country's a little messed up right now, but I'm thankful we still have the right to come together and worship God and hear His Word. That's something I hope they never take away from us. There's countries where people risk their lives to come together to worship God. That's how important it is. And we're blessed that we have the freedom to still assemble. And I'm thankful to God for that right and privilege and honor that we have to worship Him. I'll try and get through this without tearing up too much. This is very, very personal for me. And I tried to give a lot of examples of things that happened along the way, raising our kids, where I had the opportunity to sow good things into them and teach them about God. This is very personal and sincere and from my heart, so I hope that you all get something out of it. Like Jesse said, my topic for today is making a difference for God with your family. There are quite a few newer people here that probably don't know me real well, so I think it's important for me to tell you about myself a little bit. The things that happened when I was growing up, the people who influenced me are a big part of the reason I'm here today, and a big reason why I think and act the way that I do today. First of all, I owe a really big part of who I am to my mother. She worked hard as a nurse her whole life. Nursing profession, hospitals don't close on Sundays, so she had to work pretty much every other Sunday. But that being said, she always made sure we had a way to church on Sundays when she had to work. Either my grandmother or my uncle would always stop by the house and pick us up and give us a ride to church. That's just the case of a parent wanting to do what's right for their children. She always put our interests first. Those lessons I learned in Sunday school as a young child, a lot of them stuck with me. My dad, sorry Jeanette, made my sister cry, but my dad wasn't in my life from the time I was 10 years old until I was a young adult. But I was very fortunate in the fact that I had very good, positive, strong male role models around me to take me under their wing and show me what it was like to be a man. My Pop-Pop Bose, my mom's dad, taught me so many valuable lessons. He taught me to work hard for the things that you want, and you'll appreciate them a lot more than if somebody just gives them to you. I watched him work two jobs, run his own family business, and still make time for family. How he did it, I don't know. He got up like I do, 4 o'clock, 4:30 every morning, and went to work. And he just, family was important too. His second job was a used car salesman, and what I'm going to say now speaks of his integrity. After he retired, someone that had purchased a car from him came back to the dealership. They wanted to buy a car from him. When the owner of the car lot told them he had retired, they said, the only way they will purchase a car is if he sells it to them. So he was good friends with the owner. The owner called him, explained the situation, and he went down, sold them a car on commission. You never think of a used car salesman as being honest, do you? But he had integrity. He was an honest person. He taught me to be wise with my finances, too. That it's better to save a little bit than just spend every penny you make. Put some away for emergency situations, because you never know what's coming down the pike at you. I also watched how much he loved and cared for his wife. They were married almost 70 years when he passed away. My Pop Creasy was also another male role model. He also worked more than one job and was very wise with his finances also. He loved his wife a lot, respected, honored, cherished her too. He took care of her at home while she had terminal cancer instead of putting her in the hospital. I'm sure that's very hard to do, but that's how much he loved her. Having two people like that to influence me was very beneficial to me. I think I act the way I am today because of the influences I had growing up. My mother did an amazing job impacting her children for God. My sister Susan and her husband David, my brother John and his wife Michelle, myself and my wife Joy, my sister Jeanette and her husband Matthew, all have a relationship with God. I believe that a very big part of that is because of our mother making attending church a priority. Even when the kids were all grown up, on holidays, Mother's Day, Christmas Eve, different times, we'd all get together and we'd fill up a couple back rows of the church as a family and attend a church service together. It was something that she cherished. Like I said, she made church a priority. And Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And those of you who teach Sunday school or have taught Sunday school in the past, you don't know, you can't realize how important that is, the kind of impact you're having on those children's lives. They draw on those lessons later on in life. That's the foundation that's important to build a firm, strong foundation. I don't think I'm much different than anybody else, really. I think I'm just an average kind of guy. I'm just doing what I was taught by the people around me. I go to work every day. I got married. Raised a family in church just like I was taught by example. Children are taught by example. They are watching you, and they are going to imitate everything that they see you do. Your children are going to think the way that you treat your spouse is the way that it's supposed to be. And that's the kind of marriage they're going to have, what they see by your example. When we got married, we went to Niagara Falls on our honeymoon. We wanted to keep God at the center of our marriage. So when Sunday morning came around, even though we're on our honeymoon, we got to go to church, keep God at the center so we have a good marriage. We just got in a car and drove around, and we found an Assemblies of God church. We figured, well, that should be pretty close to our beliefs, you know, they're the Spirit-filled church. So we pulled in the parking lot, and we see all these biker-looking people, quote-unquote, and it's like, we both said to each other, are we sure we want to go in there? This looks kind of rough, you know? Well, we went in. Of course, God rebuked us on the spot. Turns out they sponsor a motorcycle ministry, and they were there to give their testimony of how many lives they had reached for Christ. See, man looks at the outward appearance, but God sees your heart. God judges your heart. That taught me a valuable lesson that day, you know, not to judge people by their appearance. You don't know what a person's like until you really get to know them. I feel it's also an important biblical principle that the man take his authority as the spiritual leader of his household. In 1 Corinthians 11:3, but I want you to realize that the head of every man is Christ, the head of every woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. I think that's pretty straightforward and to the point. In an ideal situation, the husband and wife are working together to further the children's relationship with God. If the husband doesn't claim his rightful spot of authority, the wife will have to step in and stand in the gap and take his place. I'm very fortunate in that regard that my wife has worked with me every step of the way to further our children's walks with God. Our households need to be our number one priority, our first ministry. If our house isn't in order, God's not going to give us any other ministries. If we can't take care of our own household, we can't handle anything else. We can do all kinds of nice things for others, but ignore our families. That's wrong. We got to take care of our families first. If our children disrespect us in public, backtalk us, act up, if we're constantly arguing with our spouses, nobody's going to want what we have to offer them. People will judge us by the fruit in our lives. Do they see good fruit or do they see bad fruit? In Galatians 5:23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Bad fruit are the opposite things of that, like envy, strife, anger. Anything that opposes God would be bad fruit. If people see good fruit, they'll be drawn to us. They'll want to know what we have, but they don't. And we can tell them what God has done for us. We as parents should want to pass on the godly principles that we learned along the other way. In other words, we should want to replicate ourselves in our children. We need to build godly character into our children and make them disciples of Jesus. The Great Commission starts with our own households. And in Matthew 28:19, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. All of us can't go to foreign countries and be missionaries, but we have a sphere of influence, people that we're in contact with every day, and we can have a positive influence on them if we let them see godly character in us. We actually made attending church a priority from the time we started dating. When our children were young, they would wake us on Sunday morning saying, "Come on, get up, time to go to church." I mean, that caused us to become more excited about God because we could see the impact it was having on our children. So our children actually impacted our walk with God because they were excited about God. It rubbed off on us. I had the honor and privilege of leading both my children to Jesus and also help baptize them. When each of them were born, we dedicated them unto the Lord. We stood in front of the church congregation and God and promised to raise them in a Christian household and to teach them to love, serve, and honor God. I try to use things that life throws at us as teaching opportunities. My pop Bose passed away when my son was 5. We explained to him that Poppy doesn't live at the house anymore. He is in heaven with Jesus. He asked us, "Will I ever see Poppy again?" We told him, yeah, if you ask Jesus into your heart and accept him, someday you'll go to heaven when you leave this earth and you'll see Poppy again. We prayed a prayer of salvation with him right there at that moment, and he accepted Jesus into his heart. Isn't that just like God to make what we perceive as a negative thing and turn it into something positive? God turned my time of mourning into a time of rejoicing for my son's salvation. Only God can do something like that. And Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. My son was being bullied at school, and he also had a teacher who was horrible. I mean, I'm not knocking teachers. There's good teachers and there's bad teachers. There's a lot there just there for the money, and there's also good teachers who really care about their kids and want to have a positive effect on them. But he had a bad, horrible teacher. He had ADD when he was younger, and he was kind of all over the page. And we explained this to her, that you need to repeat directions to him. They were dreaded diagramming sentences in English class, and he did everything right except the last part of the instructions was to circle the punctuation at the end. He did like 9 out of 10 things right, didn't do the 10th thing. Instead of her saying, "Read the directions again," she marked everything wrong, gives him a 0, sends the paper home, you know, sign and return. I'm like, so at that point we decided he's never going to make it with this teacher. And we pulled him out of school and started homeschooling. My wife did a lot of the work because I have my job. I was busy putting food on the table, keeping the lights on. That decision was the best thing for my son at the time. It was a big undertaking, but that's what you do when you have kids. You put them first. He learned his value system from us instead of the public school system. And they are teaching a lot of garbage right now in the public school system that contradicts the Word of God. I don't think that decision hurt either one of my children. We homeschooled Charity the next year. Both of them turned out to have good work ethics. They hold down a steady job. They tithe on their income, which was one of the first things I taught them when they had their own money. That's a godly principle, and God will take care of you if you honor Him with your finances. That's something I passed on to them, and I live by it, and it's true. I haven't missed a meal. God takes care of us. Here's a funny example. I went to Walmart one year at Christmas time, Christmas shopping. Nobody wants to go to Walmart at Christmas time. It's like a war zone. Well, my son wanted a video game, and he's in the store with me. He didn't bug me at all. I knew he wanted it, so I thought, he's being really good. Got him the video game, wait in a long line, check out, get to the car, and I look at the receipt. I'm like, wow, that was really cheap for everything I got. That was a good deal. I look at the receipt. It was a really good deal because they didn't charge me for the video game. So what do? I don't want to go back in there. It's horrible in there. Or do I go back in and teach my son a valuable lesson? So we traipsed back into the store, wait in a long line, the service desk. I get to the cashier and I said, excuse me, you didn't charge me the right amount. Well, the clerk got snotty with me. Oh, we don't make mistakes. I said, well, go get the manager so I can tell him you didn't charge me for this then. Her jaw about hit the counter because people don't do that. I said, trying to teach my son right from wrong here. I said, and I brought God into the conversation. I had the opportunity, so why not? I said, I thought, Walmart has lots of money. They're never going to miss this, but it's stealing. I didn't pay for this. Nobody else would know, but God knows, and I know. And I would feel guilty about stealing something. God would keep reminding me of something I did wrong. That's our conscience. God is our conscience if we listen to that still small voice. So I ended up paying for it. And I did something that inconvenienced me to teach my son a valuable lesson. You do the right thing even when it's inconvenient for you. I promised my pop, Creasy, that he knew he was dying. His health was failing. He was 90 years old. And his last wish was that he die at home, not in a nursing home. I'm like, how am I going to do this? I'm not a healthcare professional, you know. But I said, I'll do what I can for you, you know, because I loved him. And my wife was gracious enough to let me live there for about 6 months. She was cooking meals for me and him. And she'd come down a little bit at night. I only saw her maybe a couple hours a day for 6 months, so we didn't have much time together. I was getting worn out working my job and taking care of him. You know, he'd get up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom and stuff. And by the time I get him settled back down, it's time for me to get up and go to work. But that's what you do for people you love. You go out of your way to take care of them. My son Charlie, he don't even like the word blood, okay? He's squeamish. He stepped up. I was like, he grew up in front of my eyes. He started checking his blood sugars. He was giving him his insulin shots. He was cooking, cleaning, changing adult diapers, which is no fun thing. You know why he said he could do it? Because it was his great-grandfather, and he loved him. He said, I don't think I could do it for anybody else, but I could do it for family because I love them. When Charlie got his first job, the people he worked with asked him, hey, how come you don't swear like we do? You shine your light in the darkness. I believe God puts us at the jobs we have for a reason for that time. We can all have a positive effect on our workplace for God. In Matthew 5:14-16. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. I taught my kids, if you give your word, you stick to it. Your yes means yes, and your no means no. I was working like 84 hours a week for months on end, and I was committed to clean the church. And there was no way. I was physically worn out. I'm like, oh, I got to go over there, you know, after I get home from working 12 hours. My son, I didn't even ask him. He just said, I'll go clean the church for you because you're tired. He didn't have to do that. I was on the hook for it, not him. He did that to help me. And that's, I think, shows the kind of character that he has. Our children can take what we have sown into them out into the world and affect others. My son changed jobs. He was working at Thompson's, which is a horrible place to work. And I don't know how he even lasted as long as he did there. He went up where my daughter Charity works. The personnel manager is a Christian. He also knew my son was a Christian. I believe that's one of the reasons he got hired. He also got hired because my daughter Charity works there, and they saw that she has a very good work ethic, shows up for work on time every day, and works hard. And I believe he thought, we raised her, and that's the way she is, so he's probably like that too, because two kids from the same household usually have a lot of the same traits. He gave his vacation up several years to come help at kids' camp. What young person gives up their vacation, you know, to serve God? Somebody who loves God, that's who does that. He did so much for my mother when she was sick. I mean, we all did, but he went above and beyond too. He was always there doing something for her. And now he's helping with my wife's mom, who's 90 years old, doesn't get around so good. He's there every night after work, grocery shopping, doing things for her, checking on her. A lot of people that age wouldn't care. They'd be about themselves. My daughter Charity, like I said, she's been saved since she was 5 years old also. And she was homeschooled, and my wife did most of the work there. I did some of the English, and I did the math, like geometry and algebra, because they were my stronger subjects. Charity told her friend Willie, they were both 5 years old, they were out in the yard playing, told her, and she told him he needs Jesus in his heart. The gospel really is simple. And I think kids pick up on it a lot better than adults. The reason for that is kids haven't been beaten up by the world yet. Their hearts aren't hardened. They just take what you tell them as the truth and take it to heart without question. Charity's been giving up her vacations for several years to be a counselor at kids' camp. She's also using her musical talents to play on the worship team now. And that's a big step for her out of her comfort zone, because she's very shy, but she's coming out of her shell. It's kind of not regard for me also. First time Jesse asked me to do this, I had Moses' attitude. You got the wrong man. You don't want me up here speaking. Get somebody else. But I'm glad Jesse saw some potential in me. And I'm glad that I stepped out of my comfort zone and did it. Because it's helped me to grow immensely as far as sharing Jesus with other people. I'm a lot more comfortable now talking about God. This ain't high school. You know, I was comfortable in high school in public speaking. I could get an A every time I had to stand in front of the class because they let you pick the subject. Well, I picked, like cars, like Henry Ford, or I picked music, something I had a vested interest in, and it was easy to speak about it. But sharing the Word of God is a lot bigger responsibility than in school. It's something that I take very seriously. My son used to go with me. I've DJed at hundreds of weddings, and when you're the DJ, you're the MC too. You're in charge of everything, announcing the wedding party, making sure they're eating on time, doing all the traditional stuff. Okay, garter, working with the photographer because they want to get out of there, so they want to get their pictures and go. And believe it or not, a lot of times they'd come. I'd go up and say, is there a pastor here or whatever? Does somebody want to say a blessing for the meal? And they'd be like, no, there's nobody here. And they're like, do you know how to pray? I'm like, do I know how to pray? Yeah, I can say a blessing for you. I'd be honored. My son was with me too, so I figured that's a good example. So I got the microphone, and you're paying me. So guess what? Now you're getting a 50-cent sermon. So I would say a blessing for the meal. I would pray a blessing over the couple and their marriage, and they'd be looking at me like, now where'd the preacher come from? I thought he was a DJ. It's like we're all called to share the Word of God. And here's something that really irritated me. I was at a wedding, and the pastor was there. So I went up to him. I don't want to step on anybody's toes. You're the pastor. You perform the ceremony. If you want to bless the meal, go ahead. So I went up and asked him. You know what his reply was? No, you can do it. I'm off the clock. I don't think any of us are ever off the clock when it comes to sharing the Word of God. We can do that anytime, anywhere, any place. If God puts it on your heart to share it, you share it. Discipline's that's a tough subject as a parent. No parent wants to discipline their child. It's not a pleasant thing to do. But we do it. And we do it out of love, not out of anger or wrath. Ephesians 6:4. And now a word to your parents. And I used the Living Translation for this because I thought it was, to me it made it a little clearer. But Ephesians 6:4. And now a word to you parents. Don't keep on scolding and nagging your children, making them angry and resentful. Rather, bring them up with the loving discipline the Lord Himself approves, with suggestions and godly advice. I think that says it really beautiful. With suggestions and godly advice, that's what we want to pour into our children. If we see our children engaged in behavior that's harmful to them, we discipline them because we love them. That's the same reason God disciplines us in Deuteronomy 8:5. Know in your heart that a man disciplines his son, so the Lord our God disciplines you. And Job 5:17. Blessed is the one whom God corrects, so do not despise the discipline of the Almighty. One thing I always told my children is, you have my name, okay? You're in my household. So when you go out in public, everything you do is a direct reflection on me as a parent. So don't do anything stupid, or I'm not going to be happy. In that same regard, we as Christians, we carry Christ's name out in public, and we need to be a good example of the way God would want us to conduct ourselves. Because we've sown good things into our children, even though they're young adults now, they still come to us seeking advice on big decisions, like buying a car or a place to live. Here's an example of how God works. I had a pretty clunky Buick Regal, and I sold it to my son for like $400 for his first car, and he drove it for 6 months. It broke down and he wanted to fix it. I was like, don't fix it. It's got over 200,000 on it, you know. Junk it, get half your money back and buy something else. So I knew the kind of car he wanted. I didn't want to see him get ripped off. Nobody wants to see their kid get taken for a ride. So we looked and looked. It seemed like every car we looked at was junk. I drove by a Bloom Chevy, and I saw a nice Buick sitting there in the used car section. So I stopped and looked at it. Salesman come out. I'm going to take it for a spin. Yeah, you know, started it. Hey, the motor's nice and quiet, not knocking, not smoking. Drove it. Transmission shifted the way it's supposed to. Take my hands off the wheel and step on the brake. Hey, it still goes straight. There's nothing messed up in the front end, you know, so thinking this should be a pretty good car. They told me what they want for it. I'm like, wow, that's kind of high. I'm like, you know, you got any wiggle room there? Yeah, I can do better. So took him down to look at it. I'm like, now don't be like, oh, I love this car, I got to have it. I said, just be cool, you know? So I told the guy, I said, well, yeah, you know, we're interested in the car. See what you can do price-wise. And I said, needs tires, you're going to put tires on it. You're going to run it through the shop, change the oil. You're going to inspect it. You're going to pay for the registration, tax, and title transfer. And he looked at me, kind of rolled his eyes. I said, it's a straight sale. We're not trading anything. I know you can come in. I said, I know you can come down because there's no trade. You have money built in there. You know, they tell you they're giving you $4,000 for your car, they're giving you a couple hundred for it. They can come down that much. That's how that game works. So I was like, God gave me a number. It's like, he told me $4,000, you know, out the door. And I'm like, so they called back. He's like, should I call him? I said, wait a day and then call him. So he called him. He's like, well, come down. I did some numbers, you know. And he says to me, how's $4,000 out the door sound? And they come down quite a bit and did a lot of work to the car too. And he looked at me and I said, if you like the car, do it. That's a very good deal. So he bought it, you know. And he hands him a stack of hundreds, you know, and the guy looks at him like, where did a kid your age get all this money? He says, I saved it up. And the guy's like, wow, that's really good. He said, most kids your age don't know how to save a buck. They spend everything they make, you know. So that's something I was able to pass on to him, that, you know, be wise with your finances. Like I said, they come to us about important decisions because they trust us, because we've always had their best interest and sown good things into them. It was the same thing when my daughter Charity bought a car. I was like, my good friend Terry Mowry found the car for cheap, and I'm like, she only drives a little bit, he drives a lot more, so I wanted something better, you know, for him. But it's a safe car, you know, and it was cheap, and it's lasted years, you know. It don't owe, their cars don't owe either one of them a nickel, so was fortunate there. I think I was very fortunate that I had good kids that didn't fight. They never fought us any step of the way. Every step of the way when we told them something, they would listen to us and do what we suggested. And I think I'm fortunate there, because A lot of kids don't want to listen to their parents. They think they know more, you know. I was that way when I was younger. I know it all. You don't know anything. Well, now I got gray hair and I know a lot more than I did when I was young. Like I said, I'm just a parent who wants what's best for their children. Just like God wants what's best for us as our Father. I feel I've also had an impact on my extended family, you know, those outside of my household. I was able to help baptize my sister Jeanette and my nieces. She's been attending church here. I'd like to think that her watching me all these years and seeing how serious I am about God maybe rubbed off on her a little bit and has something to do with her being here today. By no means, we were far from perfect parents. We made mistakes, and our kids aren't perfect either, but they're pretty good kids, and I'm blessed that they're my children. There's no perfect parents, and there's no perfect kids. There's only one perfect person, and that was Jesus. And he gave his life on the cross for us. That's all I have. I hope you all got something out of it.